Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Lamed Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a mark the Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We open the shiur with a new perek, the sixth perek of Maseches Brachos, which is dedicated to the issue of Birchos Hanenin on items that one benefits from, as the name indicates, Nehenin, meaning to enjoy. And before deriving a physical enjoyment, a brocha is necessary. As we look at the Mishnah, we notice a series of crown shapes indicating a series of, and we look at the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading where the crown shape is featured, Kvutzot, Mazon, Shoinois, Ubirchoisem, different groups of foods and their brochas. So the Mishnah, Ketzad Mevorchen al Haperos. What's the nature, how do we make a bracha on different types of peros? Peros is often translated as fruits, but that's a limited translation. As we'll see, the Mishnah explains the term peros in a broader context. Al peros ha'ilon, on the fruit of trees, on what we in English would call fruits, the fruit of trees, hu omer, borei pri ha'etz. Chutz min hayayin, with the exception of wine, She al hayayin hu omer borei pri hagefen. Vi al peros haaretz hu omer borei pri hu adoma, on what we often call vegetables, we say borei pri adoma, chutz min hapas, with the exception of bread, whose origin is primarily wheat, which is also something that grows from the ground, She al hapas hu omer hamoitzi lechem min haaretz, a specialized bracha. Just like in the case of wine, there was a specialized or unique bracha for wine. The al hayirakos hu oimer borei pri ha'adama. Now, the term yirakos, before mentioned by peros haaretz, the term vegetables, but in truth, we have to use the term vegetables more accurately over here, but nevertheless you see it's the same kind of bracha, val yirakos hu omer borei pri ha'adama, just like we said peros haaretz. It could very well be that peros haaretz maybe is more accurately described as things like grain related plants, and here yirakos would be translated as vegetables. So on yirakos one says borei pri ha'adama, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Borei Mine Deshoyim. Rabbi Yehuda has a different text for Yerokos, as we just saw. So in our Mishnah, we have three categories and their respective brachos. There are many other areas of food that are not listed in this Mishnah, but will be discussed later. Before beginning this particular Omud, we will, an act of departure from our standard approach, we will mention that this particular Omud of Gemara is unique in possibly all of the Shas, with I would say having almost no rival in terms of its structural complexity. In this particular case, we have to make a distinction between structural complexity and intellectual difficulty. The topics mentioned here do not necessarily represent the most difficult areas of learning. If anything, they are of average difficulty. However, the structure of this daf is something unique. And it's in my humble opinion that Gemara markings and what it offers rises to the occasion here in a way that a few other sukkis do. The main marking in this particular sukkia will be the use of multiple brackets. The approach that Gemara Markings will be taking to this particular sugya will be a type of telescoping approach. What do we mean by the term of telescoping? Well, we'll initially approach this sugya trying to see the macro picture of things, then gradually working our way in more and more inwards to the micro of the sugya. The method that we will be adopting here will be one that our hope is sets up the one who's learning this to a position where he'll be able to review the Gemara with a greater degree of ease than if he had not approached it the way we will be attempting to demonstrate things. So that we will be reading this Gemara or learning it certainly as on the first round in a rather unorthodox fashion, in the sense that we will be reading partial comments or phrases at an earlier stage in the text and then skipping to something later in order to pick up what we like to term the logical flow of things, leaving details out. But as we go on in the Gemara and then reading the sections enclosed in brackets, you will notice that there are multiple examples of bracketed sections within sections that are already bracketed. And that's what we mean by a telescoping approach. Without too much further introduction, the best thing is at this point to simply get into the Gemara, being aware that the text is, or the structure is quite challenging, but our sincere hope is that we will be able to make a difference. The Gemara on Amud Beis, we might as well say, is a Gemara that is very, very important in terms of developing a Torah outlook on life, gaining a Torah perspective in terms of very important areas of, we'll say, Jewish philosophy in terms of how to approach things like Torah learning and pursuit of income. But first things first, Omid Aleph is dedicated to finding a source for making a bracha, and more specifically making a bracha rishona, in contrast to something like Birchas Hamazon, which can be classified as a bracha achrona. When we look at the macro picture of things, the Gemara opens up with the question, Minohani Mili, from where do we know that which the Mishnah taught that one is to make brachas? So you'll notice under our topic heading with structural note in the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading where we feature a diamond and Roman numerals 1 and 2. The Roman numeral 1, as we look at the Gemara and the Gemara text, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you notice a Roman numeral number 1, and you have to scan down quite a bit further down the page, and you'll see close to the bottom, around 6 lines from the bottom, a Roman numeral number 2, also to the right-hand side of the text, accompanied by a diamond in the middle of the line. The first source, or the first attempt at finding a source for brachas, is a citation from a pasuk, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. The word Hilulim is a plural of the word Hallel. Hallel means to praise, or in our case, to bless. So the first approach of the Gemara is to find a scriptural reference to making a bracha. As a result of extensive discussion, as we will see as the sugya unfolds, we will find that basing a bracha on a scriptural source runs into difficulty, and in the final analysis, the Gemara will resort to a svara, that it's a matter of logic. And the logic being to tell the end of the story already at the beginning, is that it's forbidden for a person to benefit from this world without or before making a bracha, before blessing the Almighty for the wonders that he has wrought. So we begin the Gemara with the question, as we saw just a moment before, Minohani Mili, the Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source for answering the question of from where do we know that one is to make a bracha. The source cites a pasuk, and the topic of the pasuk, when you look in the Torah, deals with fruits of the fourth year. In other words, a person plants fruit trees. The Torah speaks about one being prohibited from benefiting from fruit trees during their first 3 years of growth. They are called orla. The fourth year is referred to in halacha by the term revai. Revai, resh, beis, ayin, yud, having as its root the word reva or revius, resh, beis, ayin, indicating something to do with a fourth, in this case a fourth year. And we have a pasuk on the side of the Gemara, Vayikra Perek Yutes. We've noted pasuk Chof Dalid, and well, let's read the pasuk that we've included on the side of the Gemara, Uvashana Horavius, in the fourth year, meaning after the first 3 years of the Orla, years of the fruit growth, yeah, Kol Pirioi Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, that all of his fruits will be called Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, literally holy and praising the Almighty. Pasuk Chafei says, Uvashana Hachamishis, in the fifth year, toichlu es pirioi lohoisif lochem tufu osoi ani Hashem elokechem. In the fifth year, so you can eat the fruits without any restrictions. We didn't mention what the restriction of the fourth year is. We did mention that the first 3 years, the fruits are forbidden in all forms of hana, what we call asurim b'hana. In the fourth year, the owner is entitled to eat of the fruits, but only in Yerushalayim. There are occasions when the amount of fruit is so great that he can't bring it all to Yerushalayim, so he redeems it. We call that pidyon. He can redeem it and bring the money to Yerushalayim. This, for some of you, may remind you of a halacha associated with Meiser Sheni. With regard to fruit of the fourth year, we will see later in the Gemara that there is an argument, there is a machloikis about what fruit is included when we speak about fruit of the fourth year. When we speak about fourth year, we're referring specifically to trees as opposed to vegetables. We're referring to those items that experienced orla. Orla is the prohibition of benefiting from fruit trees for the first 3 years. However, when we speak about the fourth year, does the fourth year din, this halacha of bringing fruits of the fourth year, include all fruit trees or just vines, kerem? Kerem, you'll see the term kerem revai. There are two terms to be aware of, neta revai versus kerem revai. Fruits, neta revai would be the inclusive expression of all fruits, and kerem revai would be a more specific reference to the vines. Kerem is a vine, the grapes of the fourth year. Looking at the Gemara, we have a Tanaic source, opening with the pasuk that we just cited, Kodesh Hilulin Lashem. Melame, this pasuk teaches us, Shetunin bracha lifneim ulachreim, that there is a necessity of having a bracha before and after eating food. Mikan Omer Rabbi Akiva, from here Rabbi Akiva said, Osur l'odem shitom klum koidem shivorach, that is forbidden for a person to taste anything until he makes a bracha. There is a Rashi at the beginning of this Gemara, Kodesh Hilulim, four lines from the top, Benetta Ravai Ksiv. The pasuk is found in the context of fruit of the fourth year. Umashma Shnei Hilulim Ton Bachiloso. The word Hilulim is in the plural, as the singular word is Halel. So Hilulim implies two praises are associated with his eating. Kishetochlenu Bishonar Fiyas Shumutur Bachilo. When he eats the fruit in the fourth year, which is the year it first becomes allowed for consumption. So Kodesh Hilulim Lashem would imply that there are two praises or two brachas that are associated with the consumption of the food. So the two praises would be a bracha before and a bracha afterwards. The Gemara asks a question. You'll notice that we have a long question marking. That means that all of the lines that establish the question are represented of the all of the lines opposite this dashed descending dashed vertical line make up the question. The Gemara asks, "V'hai Kodesh Hilulim l'hachi hu da'asa? Is it so that Kodesh Hilulim is for the purpose of serving as a source for brachos? Hai mi boyale, I need the pasuk, specifically the word Hilulim with its double halel implication. Chad di omar achmona achle v'hader achle. The Torah says first." Redeem. Ah, lay with a ches indicates redemption. Chilul. Chilul is to redeem. The word chilul comes from the word chol. Chol means the mundane, where you take something that's holy and you transmute its status into the mundane. That's called chilul. So the Torah is telling us that with regard to fruit of the fourth year, you redeem it. And then are able to eat it, in this case, eat it outside of Yerushalayim. If you don't redeem it, you would have to bring it to Yerushalayim. So the word Hilul, with the hey in that word, the hey and the ches interchange. So you have the word Hilul, hey, turning into a ches, Hilul. So the Torah is telling us with the word Hilul or Hilul, first redeem it and then you can eat it. And what we mean is eat it outside Yerushalayim. If you don't redeem it, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. The Idoch, the other Hilul in the word, because we said Hilulim is a plural of the word Halel, so the other Halel word is as follows. Dover Haton Shira, something that requires requires Shira, song, for lack of better translation. The word Shira is associated with praise and song. And in this case, we'll talk about praise and song in the context of the Beis HaMikdash. So, Dovar HaTo'un, Shira To'un Chilul, something that requires, over which Shira is recited, that is that which requires redemption. V'she'eno To'un Shira, that which doesn't require Shira. The distinction here is between wine. Wine is the substance over which Shira is recited in the Beis HaMikdash when a wine offering took place. So Shira was recited, and it's something like that has the dinim of Revai, including the rules of redemption. Dover she'eno ta'un shira, other fruits have no association with shira, anything like pomegranates and dates and figs, their shira is not recited over them, so ein ta'un chilul, they don't require redemption. Not only that, but the rules of the fourth year don't apply. So at this point in the Gemara, the word Hilulim has been used up, so to speak, for these two other points, which are the concept of redemption, that before you need to redeem them in order to be able to eat from them outside of Yerushalayim. And the second Hilul is to tell me, what is it that is included in this halacha of redemption, namely the limitation to the vine, to the grapes. So at this point then, I don't have a source whatsoever for brachos. We notice our first brackets, so let's skip the bracketed section using the bracket length indicator that you will find to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical dashed line. We pick up the Gemara. Ha-nicha l'manditoni netarevai. Ha-nicha means, and we've written between the lines, shiesh hilu l'brocha. We do have a source for a bracha in the meantime. We do have a source because we are able to free up one of those hilul words, one of those halels that were included in the word hilulim. We free one up for our bracha source. According, Laman Detoni Neta Ravai, the one who says that the rules of the fourth year apply to all fruit trees. So I don't use the second hilul word for the limitation element that we mentioned just before. We had underlined the word chad and the word idoch. That second underline is no longer valid, so that I don't use up the word hilul for limiting the rules of revai to things that are tone shira. So by opening up the word, I'm able to say, opening up the word means that the rules of Revai are not limited to Kerem. They're not limited to the vine. They apply to all fruits of the fourth year, including dates and figs and pomegranates, etc. By expanding the rule of Revai to include all those other fruits, so I now have a Hallel word available to serve as a bracha source. That's what this line then means. Ha-nicha, I have a source for bracha, if you assume that the rules of the fourth year apply to all fruit trees. Now, we do something very dramatic. You notice that at the end of this line, the next line begins with a bracketed section. This is a very long bracketed section, and the bracket length indicator brings you way down to a line. You'll notice the sixth or the fifth line under the Rashi text, in the middle of the line, Ulaman Detoni. What we're going to do now is, after having said that things work out, meaning we have a bracha source for the opinion that says Neta Ravai as opposed to Kerem Ravai, the Gemara here is going to say, are you so sure that things are good according to this opinion? And let's skip, and you'll see how smooth the Gemara reads. Ulaman Detoni. We're skipping. Everyone sees, I hope, that where we're picking up from, down there at the toward the bottom. Ulaman Detoni Neti Ravai. And according to the Man de Omar, the opinion that says Din of fourth year applies to all fruit trees, Ha Tenach, things will be fine, it'll be good and comfortable and smooth, that we can learn from Hillel. We can learn from Hillel that there's a din of a brocha. That's ha-tenach kol debar netiyah. Things that are planted, like trees. Netiyah is a term planting, tree plantings. So, the pasuk of Kodesh Hillul LaMashem, and in which we opened up, we're talking about dinim of fourth year. Well, the dinim of fourth year apply to what? They apply, according to this Man de Omar, to all fruit trees. Good. So all fruit trees, I know that before eating a date, a fig, a pomegranate, I make a brocha. The Gemara goes on, the lav bar netiyah, kegoin boser, beitz, and vidogim in ole, things that are not related to plantings, things that are not tree related. Things like Bosser, like meat, beitzim, eggs, dogim, fish. How do you know you make a bracha on that? Once again, the pasuk is in the context of fourth year fruits. And in that pasuk, there's the word hilulim, of the plural of word halel. One of those halel words are telling me praise God or bless God before eating. But before eating what? Fruits. How do you know to expand that idea to include meat and fish and eggs? The Gemara answers, the second diamond, Ela Svorahu. Also, it's a Svorah, it's a matter of logic. It's something that a person is able to conclude on his own, without a scriptural basis. Osur lo la'adam she'ena min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. It's forbidden to benefit from this world. Man is, after all, a guest in the world that's owned by the Almighty. The Almighty created a magnificent world with all kinds of things that a human being can benefit from. But you've got to get permission. And the method of getting permission to benefit from them is by blessing the owner, by blessing the creator. After blessing, then you can benefit. We'll see later how the Gemara presents this in this idea, this concept through Psukim, that we know that the Pasuk says Lashem Oratzim Loa, and then it says Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem Oratz Nosan Livnei Adam. How can you on the one hand say Lashem Oratz Umlo, that everything is Hashem's, and then you say that, well, the heavens are Hashem's, but the world is given to man? The Gemara will point all of this out later, that before the bracha, everything is Hashem's, and after the bracha, then man is entitled to benefit from the Oretz. But at this point, we're presenting this idea as a svara, that brachas are to be recited before benefiting from anything in this world. When we say benefiting, of course, we're talking about deriving physical pleasure from things. So what have we done up till now? We sought a source for brachos, for brachos hanenin. We thought we might learn it from Kodesh Hilulim Hashem. We said that one of the two Hallel words are available for serving as a source for brachos. We then said, to say that one of those words are available, that may be the case if you learn that the word, that the din of the fourth year applies to all fruit trees. So one of the two hallel words is freed up, and insofar as it's not limiting me to a vine, it's freed up to include all fruit trees are included, and therefore I can use this available Hilu word for brachos. But the Gemara said that doesn't work for all food items. That would work as a source for tree-related produce. But what about meat and fish and eggs and etc.? So the Gemara answered, okay, it all comes down to a svara. Now, let's go back to the first bracketed section. The Gemara had said just before this point that the word Kodesh Hilulim is not available. We've had a Tanaic source that opened up the Gemara, that we thought from there I would see a source for bracha. The Gemara had then asked a question that we called a long question, and we pick up from the beginning of that question again. The high Kodesh Hilulim Nachi Udasa, is Kodesh Hilulim a source for brachas? Chai mi boyale, the two Hallel words are used up for other things. Chad, one of the Hallel words is the Omer Rachmon of the Torah says Achle, the Hader Achle, first redeem the fruits before eating them, and then once you redeemed, you transferred the sanctity from them onto the money that you will bring to Yerushalayim. Now you can eat the fruits outside of Yerushalayim. The Idach, and the second Hilul word is to tell me that these rules, the rules of the fourth year, including redemption, tells me Dovra Haton Shira Ton Chilul. What is it that requires redemption and hence all the rules of the fourth year? Something that necessitates Shira, the recitation of Shira, which is song or passages that are recited in the Beis Hamikdash with a musical format. That is the thing that requires the rules of the fourth year. V'she'eno ton shira, all other fruits other than wine. Wine is that which is ton shira, but all other things, that other fruits, ein ton chilu, they don't have the rules of the fourth year applying to them. So I need the second hilul to tell me what the rules of the fourth year apply to. So I don't have a source for brachos. The brackets include the bracket section, Uchrev Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Yom Rabbi Yonasan. based on Rav Shmuel's teaching. The Amar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni Amar Rav Yonason, Minayin Shein Oymrim Shira El Al Hayayin, from where do I know that Shira is restricted to wine? And we should point out that the word hilul, we didn't emphasize this enough, but we said the second hilul is for wine because the word hilul is associated with shira. Hilul, halel, means praise, and shira is the expression of that praise. So from where do we know that shira or hilul is restricted to wine? Only over the wine libations in the Beis Hamikdash is then Shira recited. Shenamar v'toymer lema gefen. Gefen is the vine. Hechdalti es tiroshi hamasameach elokim vanoshim. The vine says, so to speak, if it were presented in a human form, so it would say, if I hechdalti is to stop. If I stop my produce, will God and man be happy? If wine makes man happy, that's obvious. Through drinking, it has this intoxication element, so it makes people feel happy. Elohim, but how do you refer to the Almighty being achieving happiness through wine? Mikan, from here we see Shein Omrim Shira El Alayayin. The joy, so to speak, kivyochol, of the Almighty is through the Shira that is recited. But once again, it's recited only over wine. So the hilul words that we thought might serve as a source for a bracha are used up. And that's the end of this particular question. What's my source? I don't have a source for a bracha. So the Gemara answers, Ha nicho leman detoni neta ravai. Well, I do have a source for brachas if you learn that the rules of the fourth year are not limited to wine. They apply to all fruit trees. That's what we mean by neta ravai. And by doing that, I free up the second hilul word, which we had underlined above by underlining the term idoch. That second hilul word is no longer used for restriction to wine, so it's now available for brachas. Elolaman, continuing into the next bracketed section, Elolaman de Toni Kerem Ravai, my Ikola Meimar. But according to the opinion that says that the rules of the fourth year are limited to the vines, so once again, I got my problem back. The word Hilul is not available for a bracha source, but it's used up. The Hilul words are used up. Let's just review what they're used up for. One is for the din of redemption, and the second to tell me that the din of the fourth year is limited to the vines. There's now an internal bracket. Let's skip it initially. Ulaman, it's two lines. Ulaman detoni kerem ravai, and according to this opinion that learns kerem ravai, things aren't all dark because honi ha'i yolif gezeira shava. If I learn the din of fourth year's limitation to vines through an outside source, through a gezeira shava, I will then once again free up the hilul for bracha. Let's read this Gemara again, but with the bracketed section. At the beginning of the just going back three lines, Elolaman de Toni Kerem Avai Ma'ikul Meimar. According to the Manda Omar that says that the fourth year is limited to the vines, what will my bracha source be? The Itma Reb Chiyov Reb Shimon Berebi Chad Toni Kerem Avai. One says, one learns that the rules of the fourth year apply only to vines. V'chad toni neter avai. The other one learns that the rules of fourth year are expansive and apply to all fruit trees. So we're not comfortable as far as a bracha source according to the kerem ravai opinion. Ulaman de toni kerem ravai, and according to that opinion that learns fourth year is limited to vines, Honicha means I still will have one of the hilul's available for bracha, iyolif gezeira shava. If I learn from or employ or activate a gezeira shava to tell me vine limitation, so things will be okay This, and then we have a Tanaic Swiss. Let's skip it for a minute. Iser lay, right after the frame section. Notice we're picking up. Iser lay chad chilul lebracha. You see that if I have a gzera shava for the goal of getting of limiting me to vines, iser means leftover. Iser lay chad chilul. One of the chilul words will once again become available lebracha for a bracha. Let's now go over the Tanaic source. Let's read the Gemara straight, picking up the line right before the framed source. Just after the brackets, just before, we saw Ulaman Detoni Kerem Ravai, according to the opinion that learns Kerem Ravai, and we thought we might have a problem because both Hillel words are used up. No, Hanicha, things will work out. I'll have a source for a bracha. E Yolif Gezeira Shava. If I learn a word comparison to tell me that fourth year rules are limited to vines, Desanya, we have a Tanaic source, which presents the Gezeira Shava that will tell me that the rules of Ravai apply to the vine alone, thereby not using up the second Hillel word and thereby making it available for a bracha. What does the source say? Rebbe Omer, Nemar Kan Lohoisif Lochem Tevuaso. It says in the context of Ravai, this pasuk, Lohoisif Lochem Tevuaso. We actually read this pasuk before that at the beginning of our shir. It was in Vayikra Yud Tes, pasuk Chof Hei. And it says later, it says in the din of kilayim, kilei hakerem, mixed breeding of plants, it says utvuas hakerem. So you see the word tvua in two psukim. Ma lahalon kerem, over there the word kerem is explicit, it's associated explicitly with the word tvua. Af kan, so too with regard to the rules of the fourth year, you should understand it as kerem, as vine. Oh, so the rules of the fourth year apply to vines, to grapes. And how do I know that? Through the Gezeira Shava. Oh, Aisur Lechad Hilu Libracha. So one of the Hilu words that we used up before for limiting me to vines is now Aisur, is extra, is freed up to serve as a source for brachas. Well, the E lo yolif gzera shava bracha minole. Notice we said just around 4 or 5 lines up, right before the Tanaic source, we said, according to the Kerem Ravai opinion, we said ha nicha I yolif gzera shava. However, now let's skip to this line that we just read, the E lo yolif gzera shava bracha minole. And if you don't have the gzera shava, then where are you going to know a bracha from? What's my problem? So let's just go over what we've said before already a number of times. If I don't have the gzera shava, then, and I'm within the manda omar of kerem ravai, well, both hiluls were used up, were both taken up, one for limiting me to the vine, because I'm not learning the gzera shava, and the other one to tell me the rule of redemption, of pidyon. So if you do not accept the Gzera Shava, and you are a Kerem Ravai advocate, where will I know Bracha from? Notice we have another internal bracket. We call this an angular bracket, and its length is indicated by a bracket length indicator on the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice a vertical dashed line and a little angle next to it to indicate that this length indicator is for this particular bracketed section. Let's skip it. Let's skip this entire bracketed section. What is the point we're dealing with? Well, if you don't learn the Gezeira Shava and you're a Kerem Ravai advocate, then where will you know bracha from? Skipping. Ella, notice we're at the second line under the Rashi text. This is after the angular bracketed section. Ella, di yolif lo mishivas haminim. This particular approach, we're a Kerem Ravai advocate, and we don't learn the Gezeira Shava of Tvuas before. We don't do that. So, We will learn the rules of a bracha from the seven plants that the land of Israel was blessed with. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says that the land of Israel was blessed with chita, sora, geffen, etc. There's a list of plants that are listed, and in that bracha, in that pasuk, it says v'yochalta v'savato v'rachta. So this opinion that learns kerem avai, who does not hold from the gezeirah shava, bracha nevertheless has its roots in the shivas haminim. And the Gemara there continues, ma shivas haminim dover shenene v'tom bracha, just like the shivas haminim, the seven varieties of fruit that serves, that Israel was blessed with, that you eat and enjoy, and it needs a bracha. The pasuk says, you make a bracha, af kol dover shenene ton bracha, so to anything else that you benefit from will require a bracha. So at this point, the source for bracha within the Kerem Revai mindset, the source for making brachas comes from the Shivas Haminim. Well, the Gemara there goes on to say, you can't learn from the Shivas Haminim. Ma the Shivas Haminim, shekein chayovim bebikurim. Shivas Haminim are unique in that there is a mitzvah of bikurim that applies to them and doesn't apply to other things. For example, oranges and grapefruits are not included in the Shivas Haminim. How do you know you would make a bracha on them? By the Shivas Haminim, they have a special halach of bikurim, which is a type of tithe where the first fruits of those Shivas Haminim are brought to the Beis Hamikdash and presented to a Kohen. So it could be that Shivas Haminim, good, you make a bracha over them, but that's because they have this special element that Bikurim applies to them. So, we would be left with a question. We don't have a source for a bracha for things other than Shivas Haminim. You'll notice that at that point there's another bracketed section. But you see, we've got a problem. The problem is we don't have a source for a bracha. And then after that square brackets that you see, the Gemara then says, Ulaman de toni netaravai. And going back to that first mandomar that said netaravai, we thought everything was smooth, we got a source for bracha according to the netaravai approach. Well, ha tenach kol debar netia. Things that are tree related, you make a bracha over. The lav bar netia could go on both sides and dog. What about other non-tree things? How do you know you make a bracha on them? Like boser beitzim and dog and meat, eggs and fish. So when you get to that point in the Gemara, we're really besides ourselves. We don't really have a source for brachas. Maybe outside of shivas haminim or bar netia. But what about other things? I don't have a source. And that's why the Gemara then goes on to say the svara. Okay, let's go back to the section we skipped. We're going back to the what we refer to as the angular bracket. And we said that if you do not learn the Gezeirah Shava of Tvuas Tvuas, which limits the fourth year to vines, so then I'm going to be forced to use up the Hillel word, like we saw at the beginning of the Sugya, to accomplish that limitation, and therefore I won't have a source for a bracha. So we pick up with the line, just to read it again, the line which began, the E lo yolif, I mean, that's the line where the angular brackets begins. So at the beginning of the line it says, V'i lo yolif gezeirah shava, bracha minole. If you don't learn the gezeirah shava of tvuas tvuas, so tvuas tvuas, so where are you going to know what is your source for a bracha going to be? V'i nami, we're now reading in the angular brackets, V'i nami yolif gezeirah shava, and even if you do learn the gezeirah shava, thereby freeing one of the Hillel words for a bracha, Ashkechon li'acharov. We find a precedent for making brachos, like you find by the Birchas Hamazon, That's where the pasuk says v'ilchalta v'savata uveirachta, means after you ate, you make a bracha. Lefanav minayin, how do you know that you make a bracha before? So we thought that we had a mokar for brachos from the fact we accepted the gzeira shava. But even if you do accept the gzeira shava, the general precedent for making brachas is after you ate things. There you have a pasuk v'ilchalta v'savata uveirachta. How do you know you would make a bracha before eating things? The Gemara says, "Halo kashya." That is not something to worry about. That's not a difficulty. The asya b'kal v'chomer, the idea of a bracha before eating, can be derived through kal v'chomer logic. Kishu soveya mevarach. After a person's already benefited, he's already satisfied, so he makes a bracha. Kishu ro'ev lo kol shekein. When he's hungry and he really needs the benefit, he's hungry right now, all the more so should he have a need for making a bracha. Ashkechon kerem. So I find in the realm of vines, in other words, grapes, for that I need a bracha, because the word hivulim was in the context of kerem. Don't forget, we're working with the Manda Omar, kerem revai, sha'ar minin minayin, other things. How do you know you make a bracha on them? Answer, diyolif mikerem. Well, I'll simply learn from kerem. I'll let kerem serve as a precedent. Ma kerem, domer shenene v'ton brocha. It's something that you benefit from and it needs a brocha. Af kol dovar shenene ton brocha. So to anything that you benefit from will require a brocha. The Gemara says, Ikol Amifrach. And you'll notice we have a series of triangles that appear on the side of the one. There are our Mivneh heading. We've noted Pirchos. These are attempts to, let's say, reject. Pirchos, to question, to attack. La Nisayon Lumoy Brocha Rishona Mikerem Revai. All our attempts to, the attempt to learn Brocha Rishona, the first Brocha, before you eat, from, to learn that you need a Brocha Rishona from Kerem Revai, will be challenged. How are you so sure you can learn just simply using Kerem Revai, the Kerem as a precedent? Ikol Amifrach, you can challenge this. Back in the Gemara, Ma LeKerem Shekein Chayv Ba'olulos. Kerem is unique in that there is a special type of tithe left from vines that you don't find by other things, and the name of that tithe is Olulos. This has to do with grape clusters that are really unformed as clusters. They are to be left to the poor for their gathering. They're called olulos. So kerem has this unique type of tithe, and so it could be that because it has this unique feature, it has brachas, but other things that don't have that feature, who says they have brachas? So the Gemara says, koma tochiach. Koma is a reference to, literally means something standing. It's a reference to grains. Grains will prove that you need a bracha for things that don't have olulos. Grains, there's no olulos tithe by grains, and yet we find in the Torah that grains require a bracha. And Rashi gives us that source. The pasuk says, Toicha bo lechem, lechem is bread, it comes from grains. And v'somach le, Rashi says, v'chata v'savota v'rachta. So there's a bracha source by koma. Koma are grains. So what am I doing right now? I'm going to learn the brachas from koma. The Gemara challenges that. Ma le koma shekein chayeves b'chala. You can't learn from bread or from koma. When you make bread, it first is in a dough stage, and at the dough stage, a tithe is removed, and the tithe is called challah, which is then it's a piece of dough, a portion of the dough, a percentage of the dough that's given to a kohen. It could be that only koma, because it has this unique feature, that it generates a bracha. But things that don't have a challah tithe associated with them don't have a bracha. And we're asking, well, how do I know that other things require a bracha? The Gemara's question had been shar minin minayin. So the Gemara says, Kerem Yochiach. Let we go back to the vine that we know there's a brocha for Kerem by the fact that we have the Hilul word available for that. Because we said we have a Gzera Shava to limit me to vines from Tvasa Tvasa, so Hilul is freed up. So freed up for a brocha, but by what? By vines. So I'm going to learn brocha from vines. That's Kerem Yochiach. The Chozar Hadin. Well, the logic will now start to revolve. Lo Roi, and that means that if I'm going to try to learn from Kerem, but I'm going to run into the problem that it has Olalos. So I'm going to then say, okay, so learn from Koma. The Chozar Hadin. The logic starts to revolve. Lo roi ze keroi ze, velo roi ze keroi ze. Each one of these elements, the kerem and the koma, are not exactly like one another. Hatsad hashova shebem, the common denominator between them, between kerem and koma, is dover shinene. They represent things that you benefit from, v'ton brocha, and you make a brocha. Either in the case of kerem, we had a source for that, and in the case of koma, we had a source for that. Af kol davar shenene ton brocha. So too, anything that you benefit from will generate a need for a brocha. The Gemara attacks this as well. Ma lehatsad hashava shebohen. How can you learn through a common denominator between kerem and koma? Shekein yesh bo tzad mizbeach. They have unique to them, as opposed to everything else, is that they appear on the altar. The koma, in the form of menachos, koma is grains that are processed into meal offerings, and yayin is used as nesachim, as a wine libation on the altar. So, okay, things like that, things that are so significant that they go on the mizbeach, so I might think they need a brocha, but other things I wouldn't know. You'll notice that we have a brackets. Skipping this brackets, this square bracket for a moment, this takes you down to the first line under the Rashi. Notice the fourth word online, mikol mokom kashya. Whatever we say in the brackets, we're still going to be left with a problem. Ma lahatsad hashova shebohen. I'm still going to have a problem in learning from what was mentioned there. The items kerem, koma, and zayas, shekein yesh bohen tzad mizbeach. Those elements will be adding within the brackets that we skip. Will be adding the olive. They need a brocha, but those things are brought on the altar. Zayas is olives, which is made of olive oil, that is also ends up on the mizbeach. However, other things, how am I going to know there's a brocha? So the Gemara continues on the next line after this next line says Elodi Yolif Lo Mishivas Aminim. I'm going to go to a new source for a brocha. I'm going to go to the Shivas Aminim, the seven items that land of Israel was blessed with, and when the Torah makes reference to those seven items, the Torah also mentions brocha. Now, let's go back to the square bracketed section that we skipped. The last triangle had read, Ma latsad hashev shebohen. I can't learn brochas from kerem and koma. Shekein yesh bohen tzad mizbeach. They go on the altar. And that particular point remains a problem even after this next bracketed section that we already demonstrated. So now the Gemara continues within the square brackets. The osi nami zayis, the isbei tzad mizbeach. If we're looking for a source for brochas, and we're saying you do find a source by kerem and koma, but I don't know about anything else. Well, I'll tell you what, olives you will also be able to include. The isbei tzad mizbeach. If you're saying that brochas are associated with things that are brought on the altar, well, the olive, which is made into olive oil, also is brought on the mizbeach. Olive oil, the shemen, is part of the mincha preparation, meal offerings are made with the addition of oil. The Gemara asks, "V'zayas mitzad mizbeach osi." In order to learn zayas, olive oil, do I learn that through this logical point that they are also brought on the mizbeach? V'ha behedik siv be kerem. In the with regard to olive oil, the word kerem appears, and we said before that kerem has its source. We mentioned the word hillel had served as a source for that. Dichtiv, the pasuk says by olive oil. It says vayivar migodesh v'ad koma v'ad kerem zayis. So we see what we've dashed, underlined kerem zayis. So zayis is associated with kerem, and kerem is associated with hilulim. We have the word hilul for that. So I don't have to describe the zayis as being something that needs a bracha because it's simply like the kerem and the koma. It is kerem. The Gemara says, not so. Amar Rav Papa, kerem zayis, ikri kerem stama lo ikri. Olive oil is referred to by the term kerem zayis. It's a compound expression, but it's not an actual kerem. Since it's not an actual kerem, so the only way to include olive oil for a bracha is by saying it has properties that are similar to those things that have sources, namely the kerem and the koma. Mikol mokom, the Gemara continues, mikol mokom kashya. But still, we're still left with the original, the old question of trying to learn from kerem and koma and even the olive oil. Ma latzara shevashibahen, how can you learn from their common denominator, the kerem, koma, and the zayas, shekein yesh bohen sad mizbeach? They are associated with the altar. Elo diyolif mishivas haminim. Where am I going to learn brachas from? I learn brachas from the seven varieties of produce that the land of Israel was blessed in. And as we mentioned before, when you look in the Torah regarding the shivas haminim, the pasuk says right afterwards, it says v'ilchalta v'sovato v'rachta. Ma shivas haminim dover shenene v'ton bracha, just like the seven varieties that the land of Israel is blessed with, that the Torah mentions, are also things that require a bracha, and those shivas haminim are things that a person benefits from, and they need a bracha. Av kol dover shenene ton bracha. So to anything that you benefit from will need a bracha. The Gemara asks, "Ma l'shivas aminim shekein chayovim bebikurim? How can you learn from the shivas aminim to all other things? The shivas aminim generate a bikurim tithe, which you don't find by other things." The ode, another problem. If I'm going to be learning, even if you want to learn from the shivas aminim, the pasuk by shivas aminim refers to a bracha after you ate them. It says in the pasuk v'ilchalta, the savata, you ate, you were satisfied. Uve rachta, now make the bracha, the fun of minayin. How do you know that you make a bracha beforehand? The Gemara says that isn't really a problem. Ha lo kashya, the osi b'kal v'chomer. This, by the way, we saw earlier. The idea of a bracha beforehand can be derived through logic. Kishu savea mevorech, if after he's already benefited, he is making a bracha. Kishu roev, when he's hungry and he really needs it, lo kol shekein, all the more so there should be a need for a bracha. So at this point, I can't really learn from shivas haminim because they have a bikurim tithe, so maybe brachas are limited to the shivas haminim and not to other things. Continuing, ulaman de toni neta ravai, and the opinion that said that the dinim of the fourth year expand to all fruit trees, and according to that opinion, I certainly had hilul available for a bracha. Ha tenach kol debar netia. I see from this that anything that Anything that is planted will generate the need for a bracha. Anything that's included in that derivai, all fruit trees, so all of those things will require bracha because the word hilul is available for that. The lav bar netio kigon boser beitz and vidogim and all things that are not planted in the tree form, like meat, eggs, and fish. How will I know that there is a bracha? Ela svarahu. It's a point of logic, and that is that it is forbidden for a person to benefit from this world, the world that belongs to the Almighty. Who are we? Who is man to come and take from the Almighty without saying a bracha? So as we look over the Gemara that we've done, it is true that we did not read the Gemara straight through smoothly. We read it using the brackets, the telescopic approach, whereby we started with an overview, the large picture, and then we gradually worked into details. But our sincere hope is that at this point, one will be able to go over the Gemara using the markings and the brackets and actually review the Gemara, reading it through, straight through, smoothly, and Amir Tzashem, our hopes will be fulfilled. With that having been said, we now continue in the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan. It is forbidden for a person to benefit from this world without prior reciting a bracha. And anyone who does so, who benefits from this world without making a bracha, he is guilty of me'ilah. Me'ilah is the offense associated with someone who benefits from that which is sanctified and deriving personal benefit from it. The Rashi says, Mo'al, kenene, like one is who benefits minahig, one who derives personal benefit from things that are sanctified. Dechtiv, Vashem artsum lo'ak, namrim l'kamon. What do we mean when we say something is sanctified? It means we've set it aside for the Almighty, for divine purposes. So the whole world is actually in that category, as the Pasuk says, Lashem ha'aretz umlo. Lashem is to the Almighty, the aretz, and everything, the land and everything contained therein. So everything is basically sanctified. How does one extricate himself from a me'ila violation? That is done by making a bracha. The Gemara now asks a curious question. Mai takante? We just said that one who benefits from this world without a bracha, he is guilty of me'ila. So what's his solution? Answer. Interim answer, Yelech Eitzel Chacham. He should go to a wise man, to a sage. The Gemara asks, Yelech Eitzel Chacham? My Ovidle, Ha Ovidle Isura. Going to a sage, what's that going to do for him? He's done an Isser. He's committed a violation. There are other religions that have such a vain concept of after having sinned, so one goes to the holy man for the absolving of sins. We don't have anything like that. This is authentic Judaism. But going to a holy man, to a sage after having sinned, that he's not going to absolve you of your sins. You sinned. You did something wrong. You violated the laws. You violated the divine commands. How is going to a holy man going to make any difference? Elo Amar Rava. The point here that the Gemara mentioned of Yelech Eitzel Chacham is something else. Rava says, Yelech Eitzel Chacham Meikara, a person, before benefiting, before eating things, he should go to a sage to learn the Yomdenu Brachas and let the sage teach him Brachas, Kedei Shelo Yavo Lidei Me'ila, so as to avoid coming to a Me'ila violation, this violation of benefiting without making a Bracha. So that the idea of going to a chacham is preemptive. But once someone sinned, that's already a different story. One doesn't go to a holy man. One has to seek repentance by praying directly to the Almighty, which of course is the cornerstone of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism, the direct connection with the Almighty for absolution of sins and no involvement of interim mortals, as great as they may be. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Kol hanene min olam hazeh b'loy brocha, kilu nene mikot sheshamayim. Notice the expression, if nene min olam is in a house form, on the side of the Gemara, we have noted this with a mark, we've noted under the Mivne heading, the house shape, shnei meimros, kol hanene v'chul, etc. So we see one of these expressions over here, and a similar one will appear on the second line from the top of Amud Beis. So Shmuel teaches us, someone who benefits from this world without making a brocha, it's tantamount to benefiting from items that have been sanctified in the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar Lashem Horatzum Loa. As we cited this from Rashi before, but here you can see Rashi took it from the Gemara. It says in the Pasuk that the world and its contents are of the Almighty. They belong to Him. So for me to come along and take something that is sanctified, that belongs to Him, as hektish is, equals a me'ila violation. The name, once again, the name of violating or benefiting from hektish illegally is called me'ila. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Levi Rami. Rabbi Levi raises a seeming contradiction. Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Lashem Aratzum Loa, that the land and its contents are of Hashem's. Uksiv, Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem, V'oretz Nosan Livnei Odom. Notice with our markings, we've dashed underline earlier on this line, Lashem Horetz, and on this part of the line, we dash the line, the words, Va'oretz Livnei Odom. So, like, make up your mind. Is the Oretz Lashem, or is the Oretz Livnei Odom? Lo kashi, there's no contradiction. Kan koidem bracha. The first posuk on this line, Lashem Horetz, that's before man makes a bracha. Continuing at the top of Omid Beis, Kan li'achar bracha. Then we can say, after a person made a bracha, then we can say, Va'oretz nosan livnei adam, that the Almighty, after hearing us recite a bracha, gives us the land and its contents. Amar b'chanina bar papa, kol hanene min olam hazeh b'loy bracha, one who benefits from this world without making a bracha, ki l'goyzeh l'akodesh baruch hu k'nesses Yisrael. It's as if he's stealing from the Almighty and from the nation of Israel. Shenemar goizel oviv v'imoy v'oymer ein pesha chaveru li'ish mashchis. The Gemara will go over this pasuk over the next couple of lines, but before we go on, let's take a look at the Rashi. What does it mean, goizel kodesh baruch hu? That one who benefits from this world without making a bracha is you are depriving. So to speak, we have to speak in human terms, otherwise we won't get anywhere, because when dealing with the Almighty, we also all understand that the concept of needs and wants and all of that is something that's beyond human comprehension. However, for our purposes, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is desirous of hearing a bracha, and thereby not saying it, so you are depriving him. That is tantamount to theft. You're stealing from him that which he deserves, namely the bracha, the blessing. And the Knesset Yisrael, Rashi says at the top, he says, She kishechotu haperos loikin. When there is sin, that causes a diminution in the quality of produce in the world. This is a concept that one finds in other places in the Shas as well, that as a result of sin, the quality of the produce it gets reduced. The Gemara continues then. We said that one who is nene from Olam Hazeh without a brocha is tantamount to stealing from the Almighty and from the nation of Israel by, as Rashi just said, by my not making a brocha, I'm creating a reduction in the quality of produce, and thereby everyone loses out. Shinema, the Pasuk says, we're reading this again, third line from the top, Goizel Ovi V'imoy The Oimer Ein Pesha, person who steals from his mother and his father and say, there's no sin. Chovir hu le'ish mashchis. He is thereby an accomplice to the man of destruction, which will be explained as we go on in the Gemara. V'ein Oviv el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word Oviv in this pasuk is a reference to the Almighty. And therefore, Goizel Oviv, he's stealing from the Almighty. How do I know Oviv is a reference to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shenemar halo hu Ovicha Konecha. The pasuk says, referring to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, using the term Avicha. V'ein imoi elo kinesis Yisrael. The word imo refers to the collective of Israel. Shenemar, Shema b'ni musar avicha v'al titosh toiras imecha. The term, the Torah of imecha, the Torah of the nation of Israel. My chover hu le'ish mashkis. What about the end of the pasuk? Omar Rav Chanina bar Papa, chover hu li'rovam ben nevot. He becomes an accomplice to Yeravam ben Nevat, shehish ishchis es Yisrael aviyim shebashamayim. Yeravam ben Nevat lived at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, and continued living at the time of Shlomo HaMelech's son Rehavam. He is the leader of the break-off kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel, and he, Yeravam ben Nevat, set up golden calves that he demanded and required the people under his rule to worship, to serve, as opposed to going to Yerushalayim. So he is known as someone who is Chote Umachti Es Harabim. That Rashi says, four lines from the top, Liravim ben Avot Shechota V'ichti Es Yisrael. So too, someone who doesn't make a bracha is kahu chote umachti. How is he machti? So Rashi beforehand had said, and let's take a look back at that. Ein pesha. Well, the fishu mekel. Rashi on the second line from the top says that since you have someone here that's being lenient, namely he's partaking of benefits without blessing beforehand, he is mekel, he is being lenient. Royim ha'achirim v'lomdim imenu. Others see him and learn from him. Lasos kein lehenes menolam below bracha. To do thusly, benefit from the world without making a bracha. L'kach nikroze ha'mekel chavulish mashkos. And that's why he's called the friend of the destructive one. The point being is someone who causes others to sin. Yeravam ben Nevat was, unfortunately, someone who caused others to sin. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Chanina bar Papa Rami. Rav Chanina raises a contradiction, and you'll notice that this is we have another comment of Rav Chanina bar Papa, and that's why we've decided to note his name with a geometric form to show you the connection. So he raises a contradiction. Ksiv v'lokachti digoni be'itoi, uksiv yosafto digonecha. One pasuk says, I, referring to the Almighty, I will collect my grains. And the other pasuk says, which is probably a more familiar pasuk, v'yosafto digonecha, v'siroshcha, v'yitzorecha, which we say is part of the second paragraph of Kriyashma. That means you will collect your grains. Lo kashya kan bizman Yisrael oisin ritzonin shel mokoyim. You will be able to collect your grains when we fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem. So we will have the benefit of the produce of the ground. Kan bizman shein Yisrael oisin ritzonin shel mokoyim. The pasuk that says I will collect my grains is when the Jews are not fulfilling the will of Hashem. So we won't be able to benefit from the produce of the world. Hashem will collect it, so to speak. Tanu rabbanan. Here we have a Tanaic source that features a very famous machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and this touches on the topic that's of relevance time immemorial, the issue of the balance between Torah learning and pursuit of income. This is an issue I would refer to as a hot issue to this very day. Tana Rabbanan, v'yosafto digonecha, ma Talmud lomar. The pasuk says, you shall collect your grains. What is the need for the Torah to tell me, you shall collect your grains? Well, the fishinema, because there's another pasuk that says, lo yomush sefer Torah zemi picha, that the words of Torah, and it's Torah study, shall not depart from your lips, which would mean you're always engaged in Torah study. Yochol dvorim kiksavam. should we take this pasuk at face value, as it says, and that which would mean don't be involved with other things? Rashi says, "Dvarim k'ksavim shel yasuk b'derech eretz," that a person should not be involved with the ways of life, which would mean like collecting grains or pursuit of income. Talmud lomar v'yosafto degonechoso, to balance that, to counterbalance that, the pasuk says you shall collect your grains. Han'eg bo'en minag derech eretz. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, with regard to Torah, Rashi says, Hanheg ben im Divrei Torah, together, or with Divrei Torah, with the pursuit of Torah, follow what's called Minog Derech Eretz. Rashi says, Shiim Tovali Dei Tzorach Abrios, if you don't pursue Derech Eretz, if you don't pursue an attempt to produce an income, if you don't do that, well, soif chali bota midivrei Torah. A person without an income, a person without a means of support, will not be able to learn whatsoever. A person has to, as they say, pay the bills. What about the, you know, pay the water bill, the electricity, and without a roof over your head, you're not going to be able to learn any Torah. This is Rabbi Shmuel's approach to these psukim, v'yosafta devanech on the one hand, and lo yomush sefer Torah zeh mipicha on the other hand. Exactly how to allot one's time to these different things, let's wait for the Gemara later on. Let's continue in the source. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer Efshir Adam. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai comes and we should also recall that the Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Hey. Daf Lamed Gimel, that is, here we're on Daf Lamed Hey, but over there it's Daf Lamed Gimel in Masechet Shabbos, tells the story of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who had escaped the Roman government and was in a cave with his son for a period of 12/13 years, and engaged in Torah study all the time for that entire period of time, and it was sustained miraculously. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is a figure that one might associate with deep and total immersion in Torah study, having actually experienced this on a first-hand basis. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, "Efshir Adam, could it possibly be that, as Rabbi Shmuel says, pursue Hanig ben Minuk Derech Eretz? Well, what's involved in Derech Eretz? What's involved with that? How does one pursue an income? So, on an agricultural level, we see, he says, Efshir Adam, could it possibly be that a person is Harish B'Shas Harisha, he plows during plowing time, Zareh B'Shas Ria, and plants during planting time, Vekotzer B'Shas Ktira, and harvests during the harvest season, Vedosh B'Shas Disha, and after harvesting, he then threshes the grains when they need to be threshed, Vezorah B'Shas Haruach, and Zorah is a process of separating the chaff from the kernel, and you need the wind, you need blowing wind for that. So you're going to be involved with all of these different activities that each one has their own season and time for them. Torah, Matel, El. So what's going to be with the Torah learning? Well, okay, you see, you're raising an important question, but what about the psukim that we saw before? When the Jews are doing the will of Hashem, and it's safe to say, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the will of Hashem would mean total immersion in Torah study. So then, malachto nasis ayde achirim, their needs, their maintenance will be done by others. Shenemar, there is a pasuk for that. It says, v'omdu zorim v'ru tzonchem. And it says Zoram of foreigners, the Gentile world will ru, they will graze your tzon, they will take care of your needs. And the pasuk goes on to feature other areas of need also will be taken care of by the Zoram. Ubizman shein Yisrael oisin ritzon Hashem, when the Jews are not totally fulfilling the ratzon of Hashem. Malachton nasis ayde atzmon. Then the Jews will have to take care of themselves, and included in that is v'yosafta doganecho. Shenemar v'yosafta doganecho. V'lo'oid elo shemleches achirim nasis al yodon. Not only that, but if we're not oisim ritzono shemokom, then Jews will have to fulfill the needs of others. We'll have to be in service of others. Shenemar v'yovadito es oyavecho, and you will be enslaved to your enemies. So in this source you see two schools of thought, two approaches to life. Rabbi Shmuel combining, but we're not saying how to combine in terms of percentages, but there is a combination of dedication to Torah study as well as pursuit, active pursuit of income. According to Shem Baruch Hoy, the ideal is, and even the Torah expectation is, total immersion in Torah study. And as far as maintenance is concerned, don't worry about that. Others will take care of you. Omar Abaye, Harbe Osu Kerebi Yishmael V'Osu V'Yodan. Many pursued Rabbi Shmuel's approach to life, V'Osu V'Yodan, and they were successful. Both Osu V'Yodan, they gained an income, and they were also able to pursue Torah study. Kereb Shimon Ben Yochai V'Osu V'Yodan. Many had pursued, there are many that pursued Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's approach, and they were not successful. They weren't able to manage things. There are those that infer from this that it's true. Many did and weren't successful, but a minority were successful. Omar le Rava le Rabbonan. Rava turns to his colleagues or his students and he says, "B'matusa minaychu, kindly, please, I request of you, b'yomei Nisan v'yomei Tishrei lo tischazu kamoi, during the spring season of Nisan and the fall season of Tishrei, don't come to me. Don't appear in front of me." In other words, I may be delivering lectures, but during those seasons, I don't expect you to come to me. So as not to be preoccupied with the pursuit of your mazon, of your maintenance, of your income, the rest of the year. Now, I've seen in Sforim, if I'm not mistaken, I saw in the Igrus Moshe of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichrono Livracha, that Rava is in effect a commentary on Rabbi Yishmael. And here you're getting a glimpse of what we alluded to before in terms of allocation of time. What does it mean, Haneg Ban Derech Eretz? So Rava is telling you that 2 months of the year, approximately, the terms of Yomei Nisan and Yomei Tishrei might not be translated exactly as months, but it's a framework at least. There's a reference to two parts of the year. As Rashi calls it, Yomei Nisan are the Yomei HaKotzir, that's the harvest time, and Yomei Tishrei is the time for pressing wine and pressing grapes into wine and olives into olive oil. That's Rava says to his students, those times of year, that's the time to dedicate yourself to income, and the rest of the year you will be available, because if you don't make this investment, then how will you be able to learn the rest of the year? So there's a concept here of Rava is bringing down to more, we'll say, practical terms what Rabbi Shmuel was espousing. It's also noteworthy that the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam who is often quoted as someone who seems to speak against, but it's certainly not the case. But there are those that perceive the Rambam as advocating, we'll say, a combination of pursuit of livelihood as well as Torah study, as opposed to exclusive immersion in Torah study. As I say, that is something that is, what I'm saying right now is very superficial, because one has to look into the collective Rambam, not just focus on one citation here or there, but see, you have to look at the Rambam not only in Hilchos Talmud Torah, but also at the end of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel. But in the Rambam, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, which deals with this idea of combining livelihood with Torah study, so he lays out how one invests his day. You will see that he speaks about 9 hours of Torah study and 3 hours of livelihood, so that when one cites the Rambam, one should bear in mind how the amount of time is allocated according to his schedule, as we just said. and that can be seen, as we said, in Hilchos Talmud Torah. That, and once again, the primacy of Torah study is something that one cannot underestimate when it comes to the central themes of Judaism. And that having been said, we continue in our Gemara. Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yochanan. We have a topic heading and structural note on the side of the Gemara where we feature a triangle and also a dashed underline. We will see Shnei Memros Shel Rabo, two comments of Rabo, Rabo Bar Bar Chana, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, Bo Ure'e. Both have that theme with them. Come and see, and then you'll see how it continues. And the theme here is Hevdel Bein Doros Rishonim Lachronim, the difference between the earlier generations and the later generations. We saw this type of theme earlier in our Masichta when we spoke about the difference between the generation of Rav Yehuda and that of Abaye, where we saw the difference there featured of Mesiris Nefesh for Torah Mitzvahs. Here the Gemara continues, Omar Rabba Barba Chanam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Come and see, notice the difference between the earlier ones and the later ones. Doros Harishonim, Osu Toroson Keva, Melachdan Aroi, Zu Vazun Iskaima Biodam. The earlier generations made Torah their primary activity, their established, their central activity, and their Melach, their pursuit of income, something of Aroi is something that's transient or temporary, but it would mean less significant. And you know what? They were successful in both. They were both successful in their Torah learning, and they were able to maintain themselves economically. Doros Vachronim, the later generations, Sha'osu Melachton Keva V'Terosan Aroi, that made their primary investment of time, their pursuit of income, and the Torah something subsidiary. Zu V'Zu Lo Niskaima Biodon. Not only did they not see great success in their Torah learning, but their economic success was not achieved either. Food for thought, wouldn't you say? The Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Bo Urei Shelo Kedoros Harishonim Doros Soachronim. Once again, notice the contrast between the earlier and the later generations. Doros Harishonim Hoyu Machnisim Perasim Derech Traksimon Kedei L'Chayvon B'Maiser. When we speak about produce having a tithe requirement, there is a process. This takes place in stages, and that involves the Gemar Melocha, the final stages of grain preparation taking place outside of one's house, and then when the grain has already been processed, it's then brought into one's house. This term, Derech Traksimon, means brought in through the main entrance. Brought in, let's say, the normal entrance, as Rashi says, Derech Shari HaChotzer HaBayis, through the gates of the enclosed area of the Chotzer, the yard, and the house. And by doing that, one is mechayev them, one imposes upon the grains the need for being tithed. That's Kedei L'chayev on the Meiser. So the earlier generations weren't looking for loopholes or ways around the law. Doros Hoachronim, the later generations, Machnisin Perosem Derech Gagles Derech Hatzeres Derech Karpifois Kedei L'fotron Min HaMeiser. The later generations would bring their grains in through the non-normal, non-main entrance of the house, but they would rather bring their grains in through their gagos, or through the rooftops, through their roofs, derech chatzeros, derech karpifos. These are other forms of enclosed areas, but it was not through the main entrance. Kedei lefotron min ha-meiser, and thereby avoiding the grains having a tithe requirement imposed upon them. The Omer of Yanai, Ein ha-tevel mischayv ha-meiser. Tevel is a reference to untithed grains. Do not become a tithe required at shiur p'nei ha-bayis until they enter through the normal entrance of the house. Shnemar, the Pasuk says, in the context of tithing, the Pasuk says, Bi'arti ha-kodesh min ha-bayis. That's a reference to the the need to get rid of all the tithes that need to be rid of during the Shas HaBior, without getting into further detail. But the term Min HaBayis conveys that idea, as opposed to the idea of entering through normal entrance ways, as opposed to entering through the roof or some back entrance. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Afilu Chotzer Kavas, even if the grains don't enter the actual house, but they're brought into the chotzer, the enclosed chotzer area, that also can establish a tithe requirement. Shnemar v'ochlu b'sharecha v'soveu. B'sharecha is a reference to the any gate area, gated area, including a chotzer. And this pasuk is in the context, once again, of the tithing. So tithe requirements, according to Rabbi Yochanan, extends to even if it's not brought into the actual house, but into one's chotzer. Chutz min hayayin v'chulei. In our Mishnah, we saw that on Perus Ilan one makes a bracha borei pri ha'etz, a wine being an exception, it having its own unique bracha. The topic that we'll be dealing with is featured on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, where diamonds also appear. These diamonds represent shlavei birur, stages in clarifying. Lama zocha yayin lebracha miyuchedes. Why does wine of all things have its unique bracha? So now the Gemara. The Gemara opens with a question that lasts several lines, which we've indicated with a long question marking the shin she'ilah with a descending dashed line. Maishno yayin, what's different about wine? Ilemo mishum de ishtini the iluya ishtini lebracha, if you'll say because it's undergone a change of improvement. Ishtini means a change, liluya means raising its quality from grapes to wine, and therefore it has a change in bracha. Vare shemen de ishtini liluya vilishtini lebracha, well, looking at oil, for example, olives turned into olive oil, they go through a change, an upgrading from olives to olive oil, and yet there's no change in the bracha. The Yomer Yudam Shmuel, the Chain Omer of Yitzchok Omer of Yochanan Shemen Zayis Mevorchen Olav Bori Prio Eitz. Olive oil generates a Bori Prio Eitz benediction, no different than olives themselves. Amri. The Gemara answers, so in other words, we're back to the question of why does wine have a unique bracha as opposed to other things, and if you were going to say because of Ishni Luya, well, that doesn't check out, because by olives you have that phenomenon without a change in bracha. The Gemara responds, Amri, Hossa Mishum Delo Efshur. In the case of Shem and Zayas, there is no option. In other words, Ishtini Luya right now is a good reason for uniqueness in bracha. What about by olives? Well, there are olives, it doesn't get a change bracha based on a technicality. And what's the technicality? Mishum delo efshir, because grammatically there is no option. Hechi nivrich, well, what should he say in the form, in the text of the bracha? Nivrich, should he say, Bore pri hazayas? In other words, by grapes and wine, the bracha gets changed from borei pri eitz to borei pri hagefen. Gefen is a vine. Pri hagefen is the fruit of the vine. That is accurate. It's a phrase that has meaning. Fruit of the vine. So it gets the special bracha because of its unique quality of ishtini l'luyu. What am I supposed to say by the zayas? Borei pri hazayas. Piro gufe zayas ikri. The fruit itself is called zayas. The fruit of the olive tree is called zayas. So, grammatically, I wouldn't be able to say this. Rashi says zayas ikri. We're looking at Rashi about a third of the way down from the top. Vahavile, and then you know what you'd be saying? Borei pri hapri. I'd be saying, blessed be the Almighty that created the fruit of the fruit. Shapri, the fruit is called Zayas. The Ein Zu, the oil, the Ein Zu, Brias Shomayim. I would be saying something that's inaccurate. I would be saying over olive oil, blessed be he who creates the fruit of the fruit, who created the olive oil, the blessed be he, the Almighty, who created olive oil, which is the fruit of the olives. But it's not accurate to say that the Almighty created olive oil. He created the means, namely olives, from which we, man, makes olive oil. So Rashi says, V'ein zu, the oil is not b'riyas shamayim, ki b'dei adam hi b'riyas zu. Avogabi gefen, but with regard to the bracha we make over the wine, ha-gefen hi ha-eitz, the word gefen is the vine, v'anovim hein pri ha-gefen, and the olives, and the grapes, that is, are the fruit of the vine. So that textually, the bracha that we're saying over wine is a meaningful, accurate text. But here, in the case of olive oil, to suggest a change in the text from Bori Pri Eitz to say Bori Pri Hazayis, that would simply be a bracha that we're reciting over olive oil to say that the olive oil the olive oil is the fruit of the olives which was created by the Almighty, is inaccurate. The Gemara asks, if textual consideration is all that is of mean, is all of concern to you, then I have a solution. V'nivrichole borei pri eitz hazayis. Blessed be the Almighty who created the fruit of the olive tree. He did. Olives. Olives are created by the Almighty, and they are the fruits of the olive tree. So why couldn't that be the unique bracha for olive oil? And if you say that the reason for Bori Pri Ogefen is because of Ishtani Liliya, so I'll say Bori Pri Eitz Hazayis over olive oil, and you'll ask, why does olive oil have a special bracha? Also because of Ishtani Liliya. And yet, we don't say that. So the question comes back, why is it that grapes, wine coming from grapes, why does that have its own bracha? Ella, notice a second time, it's another stage of analysis, and there's a third stage that will be coming up in a few lines. El Omar Mar Sutra, Chamra Zayin, Mashcha Lo Zayin. Chamra, wine, Zayin. Zayin, as comes from the word mizonos, or zon, is something that satisfies, or let's say, Rashi says, Chamra Zayin, Lohochi Choshiv, because it serves as something that sustains. Mashkalo Zion, a person isn't sustained by oil consumption. The Gemara asks, Mashkalo Zion, is that really so? That Mashkal, that olive oil is not Zion? The Hotnan, we have a Tanaic source that says, Hanoider min hamozoin, mutter b'mayim umelach. One who forswears benefit from mozoin. So the only thing he is allowed to consume is water and salt. But all other macholim are going to be forbidden because of his vow. V'havinon ba, and we ask. And we should point out, by the way, that this section of Gemara is part of a long question, and we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So we're right now asking, is it really so that Mashcha is not Zayin? Well, you have this Tanaic source, which says one who forswears benefit from Mazon is basically forbidding himself in all foodstuffs except for water and salt. And we then ask, V'avino ba mayim umelach hu delo ikri Mazon. Kol mili ikri mazon. Is it safe? Is it accurate to say that only water and salt are not called mazon, but everything else is included in the term mazon? Well, if you say that, then name otevi tufta de Rav Shmuel. Then we're going to be posing a repudiation of that which Rav and Shmuel say. Di amri ein mevorchen bori minei mazonos el b'chamisha aminim bilvad. Here's the same word mazonos, which we dashed underline, and they say that the bracha of bori mazonos applies only to the five grains that are characteristic of the psukim of the Torah. The five grains of the Torah include, Rashi mentions them, chitim, soirim, kusmin, shibolishua, v'shifon. That the term mazon covers only the chamisha minim. So why do you say that if someone is nodir min ha-mazon, he forswears benefit from mazon, includes all foodstuffs except for mayim u'melach, when we see Rav and Shmuel saying that the word mazon applies only to the five types of grain? V'yomar Rav Huna, V'yomer kol hazon olai. The Tanaic source that we read above, where a person forswears benefit from all foodstuffs, is a case where he says kol hazon, not anoder min amo zon, but the word zon. But what do we see from this for our purposes? We see that if you use the word zon, amo mashcha zayin, olive oil mashcha is included in that. The only things that are not included in zon are mayim and melach. Well, if mashcha is zayin, then we have a kasha on what Mar Zutra said after our diamond number two. Elo. So let's go over the main point then. What is the reason for a special bracha on wine? If you say it's because of ishtin luya, that doesn't hold up, because what about when it comes to olive oil? If you say it's because chamra is zayin, well then, once again, what about olive oil? Olive also is also zayin. Elo chamra so'id umashcha lo so'id. The term so'id is a higher level. Rashi says choshev tve mimozon is a higher level of we'll say satisfaction than mere maintenance. We have zon, which means that it's maybe we'll say nutritional, or one is maintained through that. So'id is a higher level. We'll call is one it produces satisfaction, but and mashcha olive oil does not. The Gemara asks, the chamra misoyed, is that really so when it comes to wine? The ha Rava havishosi chamri komali yomer de pischa. Rava practiced drinking wine all day on the 14th of Nisan, erev Pesach. He hechi denigre lelibe v'nechu matzatvei, so as to increase his appetite for him to eat even more matzah. So if anything, wine has this depressive quality to it, as opposed to something that you would classify as soid. The Gemara says, not so. Wine is soid, but we have something that's actually quite ironic, if you will. Tuva gorir purta soid. A large amount of wine arouses appetite. Gorir means it draws you into wanting more and more. But a wine in moderation, porto means less, so it does create a feeling of satisfaction. The Gemara asks, and umi soid klal, does wine produce any feeling of satisfaction? Voksiv, the pasuk says, v'yayin yisamach levav enosh, v'lechem yivav levav enosh yisod. Namo hu desoid, it's bread. Lechem in Nahamu is the Aramaic of bread. Nahamu, who desoid? The Pasuk said, Yisod in the context of Lechem, of Nahamu. Chamro lo soid. In the Pasuk, wine is described as making someone happy, but it's not soid. So the Gemara answers, not so. Elo chamro is beitarti. In the Pasuk that said that Yayin is Yisamach Levav Enosh, it's not to the exclusion of Yisod, but rather wine has an additional element in that it creates happiness. It has two things. It's one, Soyed, and two, Misamech. Nahamo, bread is Misad Soyed, creates satisfaction, Simuchi lo Misamech. When the Pasuk mentioned Lechem Levav Enosh Yisod, it says it's really saying that when it comes to bread, it is only Soyed. But when it comes to wine, it is not only Yisoid, but it's also Misameach. Ihachi, if so, that wine is not only like bread, but more than bread, so then what do we know about bread? We know that bread generates a Birchas Hamazon, a major post-eating bracha, the Birchas Hamazon. It's made of three brachas that are Doraisa and a fourth Hatova Metiv Durabonan. So Iochi Nivrachale Shalosh Brachas. If that be the case, so over wine one should have a Birchas Hamazon requirement, three brachas that are referenced to the three brachas that are Doraisa. You have the Bracha of Hazon, and you have the Bracha Al Haoretz, and the Bracha of Boinei Yerushalayim. So why is it that we don't make a brocha of Birchas Hamazon after drinking wine? The Gemara answers, Lo kavi inshi sudasayu aluya. People don't have established meals over wine. It's only a result of someone being kaveya suda, having an established meal, that a brocha, Birchas Hamazon need is generated. but this doesn't counter the idea of wine being soyed. It is soyed, but simply people don't establish meals around wine, therefore no birchas hamazon. What if someone were to establish a meal over wine? In other words, have meals that are established, fixed around bread, let us say someone did that with wine, would he make a birchas hamazon? Rava answered, when Eliyahu HaNavi comes and says that is considered a kvius, that's considered an establishment of a meal, then we'll say birchas hamazon. But now, until Eliyahu HaNavi has come, if you see someone doing that, we will have to say botlo daito etzel kol adam. His unusual behavior is void and is ignored in the face of common practice of all other people. Do not do that. So at this point in the Gemara, regarding the question of why wine has a unique bracha, the answer to that is because wine is misad soyid. It accomplishes something more than other food items, including olive oil, which at best might be called their zon. They may provide nutrition or maintenance, but they don't provide this increased quality of misad soyid. The Gemara continues, Gufa. This is a quote of something that was mentioned before. Here we will focus on the topic of oil. It says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. V'chein Amar Yitzchok, Amar Yochanan, Shemen Zayas, Mevorchen Olav, Borei Pri Ha'etz. Hechi Domi. What are the circumstances under which a person will actually say Borei Pri Ha'etz over olive oil? The Nosei Mivneh heading that we have on the side features this double underline, which are Shlavei Birur, stages in clarification, Lahavin Be'ezet Tnoyim Mevorchen Borei Pri Ha'etz Al Hashem. Under what conditions do we say Borei Pri Ha'etz over olive oil? So what are those conditions? If you say he simply takes a cup of olive oil and drinks it, no, the person's not going to say Borei Pri Ha'etz under those circumstances. You know why? Ozoke mazikle, that will injure a person. It's injurious to take unadulterated olive oil and drink it. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source through which we will see this idea, but a word of introduction. This source deals with a non-Kohen consuming truma. Truma is a tithe of produce given to Kohanim. Here we'll talk about the olive oil tithe. A non-Kohen is forbidden to consume truma. If he does, well, it depends. If he damages truma, so he has to pay the principal value of that which he damaged. If he eats truma, as opposed to damaging, he pays not only the principal, but there's an added fifth that must be paid. It's called keren v'choymish. So notice the source. Hashesa shemen shel truma. One who drinks olive oil that was set aside as a truma tithe. Mishalim is a keren v'ena mishalim is a choymish. He pays just the principal, no added fifth. Hasoch shemen shel truma. One who smears on himself olive oil, which is a form of cream or body application, a legitimate way of benefiting in general from truma, but in the case of something that's a tithe for a kohen, a non-kohen should not be doing this, but he does. A non-kohen is soch shemen shel truma, mishalim es hakeren u'mishalim es hachoymish. That's not called destruction of truma, but rather normal use of the substance. Therefore, he pays keren v'choymish. What do we see from here? That the drinking of olive oil is not called normal consumption. It's called simply ruining it. You're destroying it. And why is it called that? Because it is mazik, the person. So you see from here that the drinking of the olive oil would not be something that generates a brocha. You don't make a brocha over something that is injurious. Ella, so under what circumstances would someone be making a bore preitz on olive oil? De ko'ochil le al yedei pas. He's eating it together with bread. He's using it as people dip their breads into different types of dips. So he's using it as some people maybe use butter or margarine on their bread. He's using olive oil. Well, Ihachi, if that's the circumstance of the Bore Preitz, he wouldn't be making a Bore Preitz. Havile pas ikur v'hu tofel. The pas, the bread, is the main item being consumed, and the olive oil is tofel, is subsidiary. Utananun, we have a rule, zeha klal. Kolshu ikur v'motvela, when you are eating foodstuffs, and one is considered the main item, and the other is subsidiary. Mavorech halu ikur potres atvela. You make the brocha on the main item, and that exempts the subsidiary. So by making a hamotzi lechem in aras on the bread, you would not need to make a bori pro'etz on the oil that's being eaten together with the bread. So once again, under what circumstances are you saying bori pro'etz over oil? Elo dekoshasi le al yedei anigron. The olive oil is being drunk but mixed together with anigron. The Omar Rabo Bar Shmuel, anigron is Maya de Silka. On Sigroin is Maya de Kulu, the top of Lamed Vavamal, de Kulu Shalki. Anigron is the water in which traden were cooked. There's a type of vegetable that's called traden, and traden, when they're prepared, they're boiled up, and the water in which they were cooked is called anigron. So we're talking here about a person that mixed his olive oil with the maya de silka, with the anigron, and is drinking it thusly. The anigron is something else. It's tangential to our particular discussion, but it happens to be the water of all kinds of wherein all kinds of different vegetables were cooked. The Gemara asks, Im Cain, Havile a nigron ikur, v'shemen tofel. If these are the circumstances, that he took olive oil and mixed it with the anigron really is the main foodstuff, and the shemen is subsidiary. And as we saw before, utna ze'aklal, we learned this just before, kolshu ikur vimo tefela, when you have something that's primary and something subsidiary, mevorech halo ikur, potres tefela, the brocha on the ikur, on the main food item, will exempt the subsidiary. The Gemara answers. Here we have an additional stage. You'll notice our double underline continues. This is an additional stage, but we're calling this bays. We're calling this three bays because we're sticking with the oil, olive oil mixed with anigron scenario. But if you'll ask, well, then isn't the anigron the ikar? So we say no. We're talking about someone who's drinking this elixir. We'll call it the anigron shemen zayas mixture. He needs it for its medicinal value. His throat hurts him. And Rashi points out over here that tzorch loses bo shemen harbe davi le shemen ikur v'anigron tofel. In such a case where he's using this anigron oil mixture, the oil is actually the mainstay of it. In so far as it he's pouring a lot of olive oil into it, making the olive oil the main and the anigron tofel. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source which shows us that the olive oil anigron is a medicinal of medicinal value. The sound of choishish begrono, a person. This is a source dealing with Hilchus Shabbos, and Shabbos is a time that there is a rabbinic prohibition of consuming things that we would refer to as medicines. So, at the same time, we do not exclude the consumption in an eating, drinking fashion of food items that happen to offer a person relief. So that if a person doesn't feel well on Shabbos and he wants to consume a bowl of chicken soup, there would be no Shabbos objection to that. So the following source says, HaChoshish Begrono, Lo Ye'enu B'Shemen Tchila B'Shabbos. One whose throat is hurting him, he should not Yir'arenu b'shemen. Now Rashi explains Yir'arenu means to gargle, we'll say. It's a case where a person leaves the substance in his mouth without swallowing it. So he shouldn't do that. Lo yir'arenu b'shemen b'tchila b'shabbos. Avol noisen shemen harbe l'soch anigron u'bolea. A person could, however, put a lot of oil in, mix it with anigron, and swallow it. That will also offer him some relief. There's a bit more level of detail in explaining this source, but Amir Tzashem, we will delve into that in our Tosfos section of our Daf Yomi Shir for those who are interested. So at this point in the Gemara, we're looking for a source concerning the circumstances, or not a source, but we're looking for the circumstances concerning which one would say bore pri ha'etz over olive oil. And at this point, we're saying it's a case where someone is has a discomfort in his throat, and he's mixing his olive oil in large quantity with a minority quantity of anigron and drinking it. So the Gemara says to this, wapshita. Well, that's obvious that requires a bracha. The Gemara's response, Mahu detema, without having been told that you say Bore Priyates for someone who's Choshesh Begrono, if I weren't told that by this Gemara, actually by the Mishnah says that on let's be more accurate, namely Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel told us that Shemen Zayis and Brochel and Bore Priyates. What's Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel telling me? Well, he's telling me, listen, if your throat hurts you and you're going to take Shemen Zayis and mix it with Anigro, make Bore Priyates. So Pshita, the Gemara is asking, well, of course, Ma'u Detema, well, without being taught this, I might have thought Kevan DeLeRefuah Kamechavein, since he is consuming this for medicinal purposes. Lo livruch alei klal. There is no need for making a bracha. I would have thought that the Torah, or the Torah and the Rabbanim, when they speak about making brachas, they're speaking about when you're eating something for the sake of regular food consumption. But we're consuming something for medicinal purposes. There's no need for a bracha. Komash molon, Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel is telling me, kivan de isle hanomine, since you are enjoying it, boi bruchi. There is a need for making a bracha. It's from this Gemara that one may start to analyze taking, say, let us say, pleasant, taking medicines that are in a pleasant syrup form, so that you're consuming it not for the sake of taking a good drink or having a good snack, but rather for purely for medicinal purposes. But it does give you hanah. The syrup is a pleasant tasting substance. So under such circumstances, one would take a look at this Gemara and say that one would probably make a bracha over that. The reason we are speaking in this hesitating format is because when we are presenting the learning of Gemara through Gemara markings, Daf Yomi, we don't want to create an impression that we're stating anything of a halacha lemaisa nature. That requires further investigation and study and consultation, which is beyond the purview of our shir. But that having been said, our Gemara does leave us with this idea that something that is consumed for medicinal purposes, but at the same time you enjoy it, you must make a bracha. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.